Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we are preaching a sermon entitled Thanksgiving. It is appropriate, obviously. Sometimes it's good to telegraph what you're doing, and so that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm trying to help all of us to reflect on our lives under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, and frankly, to help you recognize perhaps this hasn't been done for you, and so this would be good, but Thanksgiving in America doesn't arise out of a vacuum. It's actually part of our national history. You might not know that today, and I don't know that the press is going to help us this next week. So I'm going to help you. And so we're actually going to read, you're going to listen to a couple of presidents and some remarks they have made in relationship to Thanksgiving. And so we'll start with George Washington first. It seems like an appropriate place to begin. Here's what George Washington said. Primary sources, those of you who care about history, by the way. Primary sources, right? Find figures who are in history and read what they actually wrote and said. That's how you do good history. Okay. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. That would be the Revolutionary War. For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted. For the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffuseful useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of the wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best. These are the words of George Washington. Here are some words from President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. This is October 3rd, 1863. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and even soften the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggressions, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has thus enlarged the boundaries of our settlements and the mines as well of iron and coal as of precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield and the country. Rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that there should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged. And fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Calvin Coolidge in 1925 said these words, "As we have grown and prospered in material things, so also should we progress in moral and spiritual things. We are a God-fearing people who should set ourselves against evil and strive for righteousness in living. And observing the golden rule, we should, from our abundance, help and serve those less fortunately placed. We should bow in gratitude to God for His many favors." FDR, 1942, said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Across the uncertain ways of space and time, our hearts echo these words. "For the days are with us again when at the gathering of the harvest we solemnly express our dependence upon Almighty God. The final months of this year, now almost spent, find our republic and the nations joined with it waging a battle on many fronts for the preservation of liberty. In giving thanks for the greatest harvest in the history of our nation, we who plant and reap can well resolve that in the year to come, we will do all in our power to pass that milestone. For by our labors in the fields, we can share some part of the sacrifice with our brothers and sons who wear the uniform of the United States. It is fitting that we recall now the reverent words of George Washington, Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection and that every American in his own way lift his voice to heaven." Thanksgiving is a part of our nation's history. Our presidents have seen fit through the years to remind the people of the United States to be grateful. They have consistently encouraged us to believe that the providential hand of God has permitted us to be a nation. It is hard to read these without seeing this. We do owe God a debt. Quickly make a sidebar comment here and then I'm going to move on. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, it should be a pledge which says we are going to make our country the best that it can possibly be. When we finish and we say with liberty and justice for all, if we believe that liberty and justice isn't yet had by all, we should be laboring to make sure that they do. And in fact, that allows all of us to say the pledge. Because the pledge doesn't say we're finished. The pledge says we're striving to be something. And if we've not yet become all that we could be, let's keep working at it. Psalm 147 is where we begin in the Word of God, but I didn't want to neglect to do that this morning, so thank you for that privilege. Psalm 147, we begin in actually verse number 7, which says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God." It is interesting. Song does fill our life. It does touch our lives. There are lots of reasons that we sing. Most significant life events include song. You do recognize that, right? The two most significant life events almost always include song, don't they? Have you ever been to a wedding where there was no song? But most all of them have song, don't they? They have music, right? You have a traditional sound that you know, hey, the bride is supposed to be coming in at this point, right? You know you're supposed to stand and honor her coming, right? But some of you don't do that. It's fine. It's okay. There's nothing in Leviticus that says what verse you have to use, okay, or what song. But we have these traditions, don't we? Yes, we do. Okay, you guys help me this morning. Should be enjoyable. We sing to celebrate. This is a bit off, but it's fun. So I had a friend growing up in high school and college. His name was Michael Daniels. Michael and I hunted and fished together almost every moment that we possibly could. And this is a bit superstitious, and so you'll pardon me. But so there was a song that used to play the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, "Fishing in the Dark." I don't know if you've heard the song or not, but it's a fun song. And it seemed like that if on the way to the lake or on the way to hunt, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band "Fishing in the Dark" song came on, we were going to have a great day. And so when that song came on, though neither one of us are going to make a living singing, we tortured one another with that song. We sing. We sing to the Lord with thanksgiving because to some degree when we begin to assess how we have been blessed by God, a simple nod of the head is not enough. It requires a song. It requires some gratitude. It touches our souls. And so we find some other way of simply just say, well, I'm grateful. Well, that's real convincing. No, it grips us. So the psalmist says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp and the lyre to our God. At Bethel, we use an organ and we use a piano. Lots of churches use guitars and drums and all, and it's fine. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And I just want to ask the question, why? And then I want to let the text answer it. Pretty direct this morning, but stay with me. Why? Verse number 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up or rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel, that is Israel's exiled people. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up, he bandages their wounds. The first reason that we should be grateful to the Lord is that the Lord heals the brokenhearted. Now, I'm not a big fan of hospitals, and every chance I get that I can avoid one for personal reasons, I don't go. So I have fingers that if you look at them, you'll say, what happened to that one? And there's a story, but it doesn't involve a hospital. Some of you are much brighter than I am, and you're not nearly as cowardly. So you go more frequently. God bless you. I do not. We do have lots of places that help us to get physical healing. But being brokenhearted is something else. Brokenhearted can come from all kinds of things, can it? It can come from the death of children. It can come from the death of parents. It can come from the death of an animal, right? It can come from the destruction of a business, the bankruptcy. It can come from any number of sources. It can come from a proposal, an engagement proposal that's rejected. It can come from all of these sources and many more. And the Scripture says that we should be grateful because the Lord can heal the brokenhearted. You say, how can the Lord heal the brokenhearted? I'm not sure I can answer that question, but I can tell you He can. It doesn't say I can. It doesn't say you can. It doesn't say the church can. It says He can. So if you're brokenhearted and you need healing, let me tell you, the Lord can heal the brokenhearted. And we should be grateful. Verse number 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them by name. He calls them all by name. I found this a bit humorous as I was reading through this psalm because, you know, you guys know, Amy and I have 4 children, and, you know, I'm not young anymore. So you're trying to deal with your children, and it's at the end of the day, and you're tired, and they've aggravated you. You've asked them to unload the dishwasher. You've reminded them like 3 times, and the dishwasher is still full. And you begin to try to get the child that you need to come. So what do? You just call every name you can think of. And eventually you get to the right kid. Don't tell me those of you that have multiple children haven't already done this. If you haven't, just hide and watch. It's coming. In contrast to that, look at verse 4. God counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. That's something. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Secondly, we should be full of thanksgiving to the Lord because the Lord manages the universe without the difficulties humans face managing their own lives and their own homes. You ever wondered how you were going to pay a bill? You ever wondered how you were going to fix some situation? Or how you were even going to deal with it? The Lord counts the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord manages the universe without the difficulties humans face managing their own lives and their own homes. He's better than you. He's better than me. Aren't you glad? Verse number 6. The Lord lifts up the humble, the oppressed. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Thirdly, we should be grateful because the Lord helps the powerless human and opposes the wicked human. You know, I've almost given up news because it's so frustrating to me. And because often it seems that what is wicked isn't opposed. And what is powerless is disposable. This is where our culture is. In fact, we won't even use honest language. We have about half of the country, maybe a little less than half, choosing the language pro-choice. They won't even say the actual word that they mean. The Lord helps the powerless human and opposes the wicked human. Perhaps I should just say it this way. I'm really grateful that the Lord can still tell the difference even if nobody else can. And I will say, if you and I will pay attention, He'll help us to know the difference. Verse number 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp or the lyre to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes the grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. Fourthly, we should be grateful because the Lord meets the physical needs of His creation. I don't have time to chase this out, but some of you think deeply about these things along with me, and we have lots of folks who are in the process of being educated. And so I just want you to think with me just quickly on one little question that's related to this. I can observe and I can watch that various animals eat certain things and they survive. And I can notice that this is how the universe works. But science won't tell me why it works. Why is a different question. If you're just left to science to answer that question, you have to say, well, it's a fortunate coincidence. How is a great question, and science does a great job answering, but science doesn't answer why questions. Why does it work that way? Well, the Scripture tells us why it works that way, because God made it that way. It brings Him glory and honor to show that He can design a universe with innumerable sophistication built into it, points of sophistication built into it, and it can still work. And with all deference to Bill Gates and Microsoft, I still have to restart my computer every once in a while because it's locked up. And I impulsively save because I know if I don't, it's gone. And then I'm in there, not in my office, citing Psalm 103. Lindsay's napping on the door. Hey, do you need me to get the hammer out of there to remove temptation? Probably should. Now's a good time. It's not all gone. I haven't yet completely calmed down. I still got some of that going on. Verse number 10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man, or he does not value the power of a warrior. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Perhaps as significant as any other, and we're building on some here, but I think this is magnificent. Why should we sing with thanksgiving to the Lord? Because the Lord satisfies those who need Him. He satisfies them with attention, and He satisfies them with forgiveness. You know, the Lord could, every time that you and I prayed, He could simply say, just leave me alone. Don't bother me. And if He did, let's be clear, there isn't anything any of us could do about it. It's not like we're peers. It's not like we can demand. There isn't anybody above God so we could appeal to Him to make God listen to us. So if God determined, I'm just kind of done. I'm not paying attention to these people anymore. I'm fed up. If He did that, there wouldn't be anything you and I could do about it. We'd just be stuck. But instead of that, when we need God and we turn to Him, He gives us His attention. He pays attention to us. That's pretty remarkable. And then, if that isn't enough, that He actually gives us a hearing when we cry out to Him and we say, we need forgiveness, or we need peace. We need wisdom. He's generous. He's abundant in giving. He doesn't short arm us. He doesn't give us $10 when we need $100, spiritually speaking. The Lord satisfies those who need Him. Verse number 12, praise, exalt the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of your city gates. He has blessed your children within you. In short, why should we sing thanksgiving to the Lord? Because the Lord protects His own people. Due to time, I'm going to move along, but here, let me cinch this up for you. The greatest protection that you and I could ask for from God, we already have if we are His children. And this is the protection that we have. It's that we can't ever be anything else other than His children. Nobody can say you can't be God's children anymore and make it stick. Though the devil and all the forces of hell were to come and to try to protest that you can't be a child of God, if God says you're His child, you are, and you'll be His child forever. And that's magnificent news, because some days you wake up and you're not really sure if you even want to be God's child. You're grumpy. Somebody sprinkled some vinegar in your cream of wheat. Didn't go down very well. You're not having a great day. Some of you guys act way too sanctified. I'm sorry. I think well of you, but I don't believe you're there yet. The Apostle Paul said he wasn't, so I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt. We're His children. We're His people. And I could quote you verse after verse after verse, but you can just trust me on this. Once you're a child of God, you can't be anything else. Once He adopts you into His family, He doesn't let anybody take you away. He doesn't even let willful children get away. He disciplines them and makes sure they come back. Verse 14, He makes peace in your borders. He endows your territory with prosperity, and He fills you with the finest wheat. That is, the Lord meets the physical needs of His creation, including His own people. Verse 15, He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. We should also sing thanksgiving to our God because He displays His might in nature. I find it fascinating that we live in such a technological age, and there are parts of technology I'm quite fond of and others not so much. If you ask me what the weather's going to do, you're asking the wrong person. It's not that I can't find it out, it's that I don't really care. And so I go outside, and if it's cold, I come back inside and I put on more clothes. Harold said to me, "Where's your umbrella?" Well, I didn't bring it. I think Josiah, for a while, he loved to watch the tornado shows. And every time I would come home, and we still try to compel him to sit in our lap, he's getting less and less where he likes it. And we know that there aren't any more kids coming to us. And so we got to get all the snuggling we can in. So come on, Josiah, let's sit and we'll watch. I want to sit over there. You can't. Why? Because Daddy said. Right, so you got him in your lap and you got the television on and the tornadoes are coming. And he's seen the episode so many times that he'll tell you, now this is such and such a storm and this is such and such a storm and those are certain kind of clouds and this kind of cloud and this is going to get bad. I mean, he's giving you the Howard Cosell on the storm. The same thing with the snakes. He loves to watch and he'll tell you as soon as he does, "What kind of snake is that, Dad?" I'm like, "I don't remember, son." "Oh, Dad, it's this kind of snake. And this one will kill you in 60 seconds or two." I mean, he's got the whole trivia down. You know what's great about that is that my son has discovered that God is revealing His might in the universe. It's interesting even with the snake business. So there are snakes that are so toxic that they have enough poison to kill like 15 or 20 men. They don't need that much, but God gave them that much. God shows His might in nature. He shows us our fragility, our mortality, even in nature. Verse number 19. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not thus dealt with any other nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. They do not know His rules. Praise the Lord. Here's the last one, and if you don't get happy about this one, I can't help you, because this one really should make you happy. Why should we sing thanksgiving to our God? We should sing thanksgiving to our God because the Lord privileges His people with the knowledge of Himself. The Lord privileges His people with salvation. God doesn't owe you salvation. God doesn't owe you sending His Son so that you can believe and have everlasting life. He's done that out of His overwhelming, abundant grace and mercy. Do you know God? It's a gift. Do you have God's forgiveness? It's a gift. Have you received mercy from the Lord? It's a gift. Have you gotten any wisdom in the course of living as it relates to the Word of God and to the work of the Holy Spirit? It's a gift. Are you still breathing life? It's a gift. Are you destined for heaven? It's a gift. Do you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you? He's a gift. There are innumerable privileges that come to the people of God. There is salvation. There is the knowledge of God. Innumerable benefits. As I began this morning, I happen to notice on our bulletin. Would you get that out real quick, and we're going to finish with the bulletin. I want you to read it with me. Front of the bulletin, the very cover. You see it? Let's read it together. You ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.